not out of place since we've been talking about adolescence, and here I am with MSM, but we'll see how this goes. Well, good morning. I'm Brandy Peterson. It's a pleasure to be presenting to you today. Can you hear me now? Okay, sorry. Good morning. My name is Brandy Peterson. It's a pleasure to be presenting to you today. I'm going to be discussing the results from a recent behavioral surveillance project that was conducted in Phoenix, Arizona from 2008 to 2009. The Arizona Department of Health Services STD Control Program has targeted efforts aimed at reducing syphilis rates among MSM in Maricopa County in particular. However, primary and secondary syphilis rates remain high. This presentation is just one of many efforts ADHS has put forth to reduce syphilis rates among MSM. Throughout the United States, syphilis among men who have sex with men, referred to as MSM, has been characterized by high rates, of HIV co-infection ranging from 20 to 70%. In 2007, in Maricopa County, the most populated county in Arizona, 80% of male primary and secondary syphilis cases were among MSM. Of these, 61% were co-infected with HIV. Realizing the high rates of HIV co-infection among MSM, the ADHS STD Control Program implemented an intervention to determine whether patients would examine themselves or their sexual partners for syphilis lesions in order to facilitate earlier diagnosis, treatment, and partner referral. The purpose of the project was to conduct behavioral surveillance while implementing a program evaluation project focused on patient education and provider-delivered risk assessments conducted with MSM during their quarterly HIV appointments. The objective was to increase self and partner examination for oral, penile, and rectal areas for syphilis lesions among HIV-infected men who have sex with men. The project began on February 2, 2008 and ended on January 31, 2009, with data collection occurring quarterly. Two clinics were identified as the sites for conducting the surveillance project, as they were the highest reporters of syphilis cases in Maricopa County outside of the county STD clinic in 2007. Coincidentally, both sites were HIV clinics. Clinic A is publicly funded, which sees approximately 1,500 clients who are HIV infected, and Clinic B is a private clinic with approximately 1,200 clients. The target population consisted of all male HIV infected patients, 18 years old and older, from the two HIV clinics. The project consisted of three steps of intervention. First, while in the clinic exam room prior to their quarterly visit with their provider, all male patients received a laminated poster that contained clinical pictures of primary and secondary syphilis lesions involving the genitals, rectum, mouth, and scalp. These 8.5 by 11 inch posters were available in both English and Spanish, and 7 lost frame prevention messages were included at the top of the poster, in addition to the various clinical pictures. These lost frame messages on the patient education materials included those seen here. There is an increase in syphilis among MSM in Maricopa County. Syphilis can be transmitted through oral sex in addition to anal and vaginal sex, and we wanted to emphasize oral sex as some MSM are unaware or do not really consider this as a potential risk factor. Sores caused by syphilis are painless and can be found in the mouth, anus, rectum, and penis. And various messages about neurosyphilis and how syphilis can affect CD4 counts and viral load, and how the use of illicit drugs can also affect their HIV treatment. So the methods that were imparted was, or the second step was the, during the visit, providers conducted sexual risk assessment, and based on the responses provided by the patient, the provider delivered a relevant lost frame message. And this was one of the same messages that appeared on the patient education materials. And the detailed results of this part of the intervention are also available during the poster session, and Dr. Melanie Taylor did the analysis of that. So if you're interested in that portion, you can see that poster today, and that's number 31. And then at the end of the visit, the patient received an anonymous survey of 21 questions collecting demographic information, assessing frequency of self and partner exam, and risk reduction behaviors such as current precautions to reduce syphilis and likelihood of seeking medical evaluation. And the intervals of self and partner exam were just before sexual activity, daily, weekly, monthly, and never. The questionnaire was also available in both English and Spanish, and data analysis was conducted using SPSS and chi-square for comparison of proportions and trend analysis. So now I'll talk about the results, focusing specifically on self and partner examination. So this table provides the characteristics of respondents who completed the survey during their regular quarterly checkup appointment at one of the two clinic visits, clinic sites. And a total of 1,633 patients completed the questionnaires, and they were received from male patients at one or more visits to the HIV clinics. Of the total survey respondents, 3/4 of respondents were MSM, with 70% having sex with men only and 6% with both men and women. The majority were 35 to 44 years old, followed by those in the 45 to 54 year old age group. In addition, the majority of survey respondents were white, with at 55.6%, and most likely to have had some college education. The majority of respondents came from the public HIV clinic versus the private clinic, and 92.6% completed the questionnaire in English. There were no significant differences with respect to sex, gender of sex partners, age, race, education, or survey language between the 4/4. So the graphs shown here outline the results of self-exam of the penis and rectum over 4/4 of the project. Based on the results from 1/4 through 1/4, self-examination of the penis and rectal areas did not increase significantly during the intervention period. As you can see from the graph on the left, a high number of men reported ever checking their penis, which was 66.2% at baseline, up to 73.4% at 2/4. However, the percentage dropped down to 63.9% at 3/4 and increased slightly at 4/4 to 65.3%, which was still below what the men initially reported. The number of men checking their penis did not change much over the 4/4, as perhaps this is their routine. Nearly half reported checking their penis as frequently as daily. With regards to the self-exam of the rectal area, the graph on the right, 45.5% of men reported checking their rectum at baseline, up to 51.3% at 2/4, and then the percentage dropped to maintenance levels at 45.8% at 3/4 and 45.6% at 4/4. There was no significant increase in frequency of checking, but this could mean that they're not necessarily having receptive anal sex. And of the 45% that had ever checked their rectum at baseline, most reported checking as often as daily. Although self-examination of the penis and rectal areas did not increase significantly during the intervention period, self-examination at any of the time intervals of the mouth increased significantly from 49.5% at baseline to 62.5% at visit 2 and was maintained at 58.9% at visit 4 with a p-value of 0.001. Half of the respondents had ever checked their mouth for syphilis lesions at baseline, and of those, 1/4 reported checking as frequently as daily. In fact, from the sexual risk assessment portion of this project conducted by the providers, we found that most men reported unprotected oral sex as opposed to unprotected anal sex. And so again, that data, the full data, is also going to be at the poster session today, and that's number 31. So the graph shown here outline the results of partner exam of the penis and rectum over the 4/4 of the project, and the most frequently reported time for partner checking of the penis and rectum occurred just prior to sexual activity. And the graph on the left shows that at baseline, 28.6% of respondents reported checking their partner's penis. And after the education intervention, 29.3% of respondents reported checking their partner's penis, and this was up 0.7% from baseline, with a 3.5% increase between 1/4 and 2/4. As seen in the graph on the right, at baseline, 28.4% of respondents reported checking their partner's rectal area. And at the end of the 1/4, 31.1% reported checking their partner's rectal area, up 2.7% from baseline. Neither of these results represented a significant increase in partner examination. Baseline data for partner examination shows that only 21% of respondents reported checking their partner's mouth at any time. At the end of the intervention, 25.7% of respondents reported checking their partner's mouth, which was up 4.8% from baseline. This is also a non-significant increase. However, this supports findings from the risk assessment, in which most respondents reported engaging in unprotected oral sex. So in summary, what we have been able to gather from the behavioral surveillance is that since most of the men are HIV infected, they may be practicing oral sex as a risk reduction technique, and as a result, following review of this educational photos and provider-delivered education, more men reported self-exam of their mouths for syphilis lesions, and self-exam of penis and rectum did not change. Frequency of partner examination from quarter one to quarter four did not change as well, and the low number of respondents that reported checking their partner's penis at the end of the intervention may make sense if they're not having receptive anal sex. So there are some inherent limitations to this project. For one, the questionnaires rely on self-reported data. The patients may not be accurate or consistent in the information they provide each quarter. And due to the fact that the surveys were anonymous, the patient data couldn't be linked between the quarters. And the questionnaire did not assess whether or not the patient missed the previous quarterly appointment or the date of their last appointment. And the frequency of symptom presentation to the clinic also was not evaluated. And during the initial data collection and data entry between quarter two and quarter three, a review of preliminary data showed that a large number of respondents selected other as an option for frequency of self and partner exam and wrote in not sexually active. And so for ease of data entry, a not sexually active option was added to the questionnaire. And upon data analysis, it became apparent that some of the initial respondents who selected never in quarters one and two may have then identified themselves as not sexually active in quarters three and four. And likewise, those who selected a frequency in quarters one and two and still were not sexually active may then have only selected not sexually active in quarters three and four. So this may account for the increases that are seen between quarters one and two and quarters three and four, and the decrease between quarters two and three. We are also unable to directly associate the intervention with a decline in cases. So despite the limitations, the project is an example of providers and clinic-delivered syphilis education conducted in an HIV clinic setting with predominant MSM population and provides the initial baseline data on self and partner examination for syphilis lesions that is not currently available in the literature. So lastly, as a result of the project, the recommendation or conclusion that we come to is that patient education regarding self and partner examination might enhance existing behaviors for self exam and improve behaviors for partner exam to identify syphilis lesions for earlier diagnosis and treatment. And the development of public health recommendations for partner self and partner examination may help to prevent the spread of syphilis, particularly among MSM. So I'd just like to acknowledge Dr. Melanie Taylor, Dr. John Post, Carol Williams, Dr. Tennis Vanig, Alfonso Okidi, Dr. Michelle Winscott, and CDC Division of STD Prevention. And if there are any questions, feel free to contact myself or Dr. Melanie Taylor. Thank you. Right. Yes, okay, sorry. The question was how common was past syphilis infection among the respondents, and then also did we collect information on HIV serodiscordance? Yes, and that's during the provider risk assessments. I don't have that data, but again, poster number 31. Or feel free to contact Dr. Melanie Taylor because she actually looked at the full data as it related to the provider risk assessments and then the patient data that went with that section of the study. Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.